There was a business professor where I got my undergrad at Edgewood, and she self-proclaimed she never waited. She would say, if she's sitting, so similar like we heard you're waiting in the doctor's office, somebody would come in and say, oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. She's like, I wasn't waiting. Because she said she was constantly doing something. She was an author as well as a professor, so she was grading or she was writing or doing something else. She kind of basically would tell us, and she meant it in this way of always use your time, always be productive, all this kind of stuff. But she self-proclaimed to never be waiting. If you are picking up on a theme already, we're going to talk about waiting today. Some of us maybe are better at it than others. I don't know if you're better or worse necessarily. Some of us wait very differently for things, right? That was kind of this idea of how do we wait for things? But we all have to wait for something, right? And today we're going to focus on waiting for the promise of God or the promises of God to really come to fulfillment. And it can be really hard. Waiting can be difficult. Whether we wait well or don't wait well, it can be a very difficult thing. But I want us to think about this in the context of waiting for God. The wait doesn't weaken the promise, it reveals the promiser. The wait doesn't weaken the promise, it reveals the promiser. So God makes us promises, right? As we wait in faith in God, in those promises of God, we actually see more of God. We can get closer to God in that time of waiting while we wait in faith. And it's that idea of faith and walking out faith in our lives that's shaping our whole series. We are now in week 4 of 7 on the life of Abraham. This series will wrap up actually on Palm Sunday, so it'll run us right up to Easter. A quick recap before we dive in today. Week 1, we talked about how Abraham walked in faith in obedience. God said, go to a new land. Abram went. Week 2, walked in faith in the midst of fear. There was famine in the land that Abram had to navigate. Last week, walked in faith in the midst of conflict. There was conflict between Abram and Lot's herdsmen that Abram had to address. And today we're going to see Abram walk out his faith in the midst of waiting on the promises of God. If you want to catch up on any of these from this series, go to our website, the sermon tab. You can check out anything there. But today we will talk about waiting. And it will be in Genesis chapter 15. So that's where we're going to be today. It'll be up here on the TV, bookmarked on the Bibles, on your tables. If you want to follow along, phone, computer, tablet, all great. I will read from the NIV translation as usual. So we're going to start Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. It says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. All right, so to set this up a little bit, it says sometime after that, in chapter 14 that we didn't cover, there was a battle. Abram's not initially involved, but his nephew Lot was. And in the course of it, Lot gets taken captive, and all his possessions get taken. Abram eventually intervenes, gets Lot back, gets all his possessions back. And it is sometime after that, the Lord now speaks to Abram in this vision. And what it is, it starts with a reassurance from God. He says, I am your shield. I am your great reward. See, God's the protector of Abram. God is where Abram is to go find his confidence. But this is tough because God says he's his reward. But Abram partially feels like I haven't seen any reward yet. And we can hear the disappointment from him. And here's the thing. Abram now speaks to God. This is the first time we hear Abram actually talk to God. Up until now, God's speaking to Abram. Abram silently obeys. Now, Abram's going to speak in disappointment. He might be getting desperate because he still has no children of his own. There is no bloodline from him. God's promise had been this great nation in Abram's name with many descendants, but how without a bloodline? So Abram does what maybe many of us would do, and he tries to solve it himself. He says, Eliezer of Damascus will be my heir. Eliezer is a household servant. It was not uncommon in this day that later in life, if a husband and wife had no children, they might adopt one of the household servants. What that did is then that servant would provide the care for the adopted parents later in life, but they would also inherit what is to come. So in this moment of disappointment, almost distrust from Abram because he's coming up with a solution on his own for not having the heir that God has promised. But God steps in and speaks. He reassures Abram. you will have an heir who is Abram's own flesh and blood. And he leads Abram outside. He says, look up at the stars. If you can indeed count them, that will be how many descendants you'll have. And he's out in the country, right? You've been out in the country in a clear night. The stars are all over the place. That's how many he can see. It's going to be that big. And Abram believed, and it is famously written, that was credited to him as righteousness. It was his faith that made him righteous. Not the fact that God gave him a promise, not that he obeyed, but his faith, even in his disappointment. So we have to walk out our faith in disappointment. So we have to wait in disappointment sometimes. Abram was disappointed. He didn't have a child yet. That hurt. He was disappointed. So he even speaks to God, which he hasn't done. He expressed his disappointment. I always think about disappointment as just like this audible sigh, this right, kind of head down, kind of move like this guy. I kind of imagine it like that. You're sitting in the chair. It's like I go out to the kitchen maybe, and I see what looks like a really delicious chocolate chip cookie on the table. It's ooey, gooey. It looks soft. And I take a bite, and the dang thing's oatmeal raisin. It's not even chocolate chip. I wanted chocolate chip. Now, granted, in my house, I'd be the one making the cookie, so I would know. But for purposes of this, imagine that, right? Life's going to give us oatmeal raisin cookies. But we got to walk out our faith while eating them. Listen, if you like oatmeal raisin cookies, that's fine. Sure. Right, we'll talk about that later. But we have to wait sometimes in the disappointment. And how we do that is we don't ignore it. Don't ignore getting disappointed. See where it comes from. Abram addresses where it comes from. It's because he didn't have a child yet. That was the situation he was disappointed in. We can and will be disappointed in a situation in life. Bring that to God. Speak to God about it. But here's the thing. Yes, there's always a thing. We can and will be disappointed in a situation. We bring disappointment to God, but we don't cast that disappointment on him. Our disappointment is not in God himself, because God's not letting us down even when a situation lets us down. God doesn't let down, but his presence comes down to comfort us and be with us in that disappointment. So bring it to God. Say, God, this is tough. This is hard. I feel disappointed. At times it's going to be, man, God, this just sucks. Bring that disappointment to God and then sit and just wait in that disappointment. Yeah, wait in the disappointment just for a time. Not forever, but for a time. Because here's the thing. By sitting with God in that disappointment, with God, we're waiting on him, waiting on his comfort, his healing, and his assurance, not our own. See, look at Abram. He tried to reassure himself by saying, oh, this is what will happen. This will be my heir. Abram saying, it has to go this way. But that wasn't God's way. God stepped in and gave Abram reassurance. Listen for God's reassurance to you. While you wait in that disappointment, wait for God's reassurance. Bring the disappointment to him. Wait with him. Trust him to reassure you in it. That's walking in faith while waiting and seeing the person of God in the waiting. All right, so we wait in the disappointment. Then we also wait with the promise that God has given us. God showed himself to Abram even more when he described how big Abram's family was going to be. It wasn't there yet. It was the promise, but God showed the level of that promise, how big that promise was, that scale, how big it was going to be. If any of you have ever gone to like the warehouse style stores, the Costco's of the world, right? If you ever like met somebody that's never really been there, like, I'm going to go to Costco to just get one thing. You don't go to Costco to get one thing. You don't. Because then you walk in and you see the size of the carts over here, and then you see the dude over here pushing the flatbed worth of stuff, and you're like, this is going to be so much bigger and so much more expensive than I ever imagined. That's the scale of going to those types of places. But that's what God's promises are like. It is a bigger scale than we can even imagine. Take in the scale of it while we wait in it. Our big promise made to us by God is salvation, eternal salvation. We get to have eternity with God. We get to be with God, worship God without pain or fear or without that disappointment. We get to do that forever. Forever is a really long time. The promise of God is forever. Keep the size and scale of that promise in perspective as you wait. And its size, how big it is, it doesn't negate or minimize the good, bad, or neutral that you have going on in life now. It just confirms that there is more and there's bigger still to come. In God, hold to that scale of that promise. Find hope in it. Have faith in that promise. Abram had faith in the promise, and it says that faith then credited him as righteousness. It says it here in Genesis, and it recounts that exact phrase in Hebrews chapter 11, what's kind of known as the Hall of Faith, because it's such a big deal that Abram's faith made him righteous. Now, when we talk about what our faith does for us, we use this phrase called being justified by faith. It's just a fancy way of saying that we're made right with God because of our faith. We have right standing with God. He doesn't hold anything against us. We're not in debt to God, nothing that we have to pay back, and yet we will still receive the promise of God. It's by faith. So walk in that as you wait on the promise of God. And that might look like maybe as you wonder or maybe worry about life right now, we never have to wonder or worry about eternity with God. As we wonder or worry about how we're going to pay back an actual debt that we owe, we never have to wonder or worry about that with God. As we wonder or worry if we made somebody mad and they're upset with us and holding it against us today, we don't have to worry or wonder about that with God. And I want that to put us at ease and give us some comfort and help us move more freely as we follow God. We're good with God. We're with God so we can live rightly for him as we wait for his promise. And as we wait, we actually experience so much more of God's presence. And that's what happens with Abram next. Let's read Genesis 15, 7 to 16. It says, he also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur and the Chaldeans to give you this land and take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be punished and be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. So God now reiterates that he will also give Abram land. That's part of the promise God has made to Abram. You're going to take Abram possession of this land. And Abram's like, okay, how can I know that? He has faith, but there's still this uncertainty. And what God does is make this type of like ancient agreement with Abram. This is where the whole thing of there's these animals that are cut in half and laid out. And there's historical examples of rituals very similar to this happening between people. None of them completely fit this example, but the broad agreement I found here is whatever the ceremony or ritual is, it has to do with God and Abram entering into a promise or an agreement. So God speaks and he makes this promise to Abram. Abram falls asleep and it says this dreadful darkness comes over him. This kind of sets the tone or the mood for what God has to say next. He says, for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country that is not their own. They'll be enslaved and they'll be treated poorly. But then, as God says, he's going to punish the nation that enslaved Abram's people, and they will come out with great possessions. We're foreshadowing the Israelites being enslaved in Egypt and coming out with Moses in the book of Exodus. And then God does say Abram will be buried in peace with his ancestors. And now, in the last few verses for today, he's going to confirm this future promise. Verses 17 to 21. It says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi to Egypt, to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. So the covenant promise is made official. This fire pot or this torch passes between the animals. This was kind of the finalizing of these ancient agreements. One thing that would happen is the two parties entering agreement would go through kind of these animals together to confirm it. And in essence saying, if I break this agreement, let my fate be what these animals are, split in two. Doesn't totally fit here. That wouldn't happen to God. But most likely the flame on its own passing through is God going through saying, this is our covenant with Abram. He's confirming it. So that covenant is made and Abram now needs to continue to walk in that covenant and walk in faith. He's got to walk in faith in the waiting. And part of that is we wait in God's presence, right? Abram's been talking to God. He sets up this ritual or scenario that he's in, and he goes to sleep, and God comes and speaks. He comes so close to Abram, and Abram is in the presence of God. Think about being in the presence of somebody that kind of sets you off a little bit, or makes you just feel like, wow, I'm in their presence. Stacy and I went to a concert years ago with a couple of friends. Went to see the band The Fray. And we were with a guy that got us kind of meet and greet passes because he knew some people. So we go back, we get to take a picture with the band. And they're super cool. Couldn't be nicer. My buddy Tom is his name. Says to the lead singer of The Fray, man, I really like this one song. And he tells him the name. I don't remember what it was. But it was one of their more like obscure songs, not super well known. And the lead singer looks at him and is like, oh, man, dude, what do you like about it? And Tom froze. He goes, the words? And he was so mortified. Because he was a booker. He booked shows. He was around musicians. So much so the next day, he came and he told me, he's like, dude, I had to tweet at them and tell them what I really love about the songs. He was so embarrassed. But he was in the presence and he froze. But we get to wait right in the presence of God. God isn't like off and away from us getting the promise ready. He is right here with us. And as he's right here with us, let him reveal more and more of himself while we wait in his presence. And as we wait in his presence, we get closer to him with those spiritual disciplines and practices we've been talking about all year. We keep coming back to those and how important they are and how they make us spiritually healthy. It's waiting in the presence of God. It's not actually super difficult to be in and wait in the presence of God, but it takes a desire. You have to want to do it. Now, we should want to, but it's really easy to either pass it off or get complacent about it, right? We don't focus on it, and it's really easy to get away from being in his presence. I was in a meeting this week with a bunch of other pastors, and there's a guy pastor from Colorado that shared a story. He said he'd been feeling really physically and spiritually exhausted. He's got a ton going on at his church, building stuff, ministry stuff, a whole lot going on. And he posed a number of questions to us to think about if we've ever felt kind of exhausted. And it fits in here with feeling like maybe we're not in God's presence. And the question was, is there a spiritual discipline that you used to practice regularly but has fallen by the wayside that it's time to restore? And I'm going to tack on to that question. Is there a spiritual discipline you've never practiced that it's time to try? So if you're struggling to wait in the presence of God or just be in the presence of God, is there something you used to do that you've gotten away from? Or if spiritual practices are new to you and you haven't done much of it, is there one maybe, hey, it's time to open that one up and give it a try. Maybe it's prayer, right, where you praise God and repent of sin and ask for his guidance and then yield to what he has to say. Or maybe it's fasting, right, where you're going to focus on God and you're going to abstain. Give something up and then substitute time with God in there and taste his goodness. Or scripture reading, you're going to hear the word of God, read the word of God, contemplate it, how it applies to you. And then maybe converse, talk to somebody or talk to God about it. Solitude. Maybe you just need to stop talking and just sit with God and just shut it all out and sit with him. Or community. You've been neglecting spending time with other believers. Here you go. Pick one this week. This week, pick one that you're either going to add back into your spiritual life or do for the first time. I want you to pick one and then tell somebody you're going to do it so that they hold you to it. Then if you're willing, like I asked a couple weeks ago, if you have a great time in God's presence, I'd love for somebody else to share just a couple minutes about it up here. But wait in the presence of God. Just be in his presence. Let that waiting then lead the way you live. And as you're waiting with God, I realize life doesn't exactly stop. I know that, right? We have to live rightly for God in the waiting. Living rightly for God, we get this example from God as to how to do it. When we're in his presence, he will show us how to live rightly. Think about being in the presence of somebody. It can affect how you live and how you talk. If you're just around them, the people you follow or the people you listen to or that you read, it affects you, it influences you. Let God be that influence. And there's a variety of ways we could talk about living rightly for God. But as I was writing this this week, God hit me with two words pretty hard that I think we're supposed to have come out as we live rightly, and it's patience and kindness. Patience and kindness. I think the world as a whole needs more of those, but honestly, the big church, our worldwide church, Christian community needs more patience and kindness. Let those come out. Let God show you those in your life. Don't wait to display those as you wait in God's presence and wait on the promise of God. The promise of God, it's coming. as we wait on it, I want you to know there's a process that comes with it. We go through a process. Look at Abram. Okay, he had it described to him. His descendants would be captured and enslaved. Then God would bring them out and give them the land. There was a process that occurred during the waiting before getting to what was promised. As we wait on eternity with God, we go through a process, and we might call it spiritual formation or spiritual growth or spiritual development. Pick any of those words. Now, you might go through a variety of processes in your life with growth and development in different areas, and that's great. I want to focus on spiritual development. And the first thing to know is it is a process, not a quick fix. There's not a magic pill, right? You're not going to do some of these spiritual practices this week and come here and be like, Jeff, I'm at it. I am as spiritually mature as I'll ever be in 1 week. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. Okay? You're not going to do it all right away. You have to. You'll grow. You will. You'll start to develop. But it's time. It's a process, and that's okay. It is slow, but it is lasting. Next part is you're going to screw up, and it'll cause you to feel like you set back a little bit. Now, for some of you, this might be your favorite part. Be like, hey, cool, I can screw up, and it's not a big deal. Some of you are going to hate this because you can't stand making mistakes. Either way, it's going to happen. No follower of God, except for Jesus himself, did it perfectly. Okay? You will fall back into an old sin. You'll handle a situation poorly sometime. You'll take your relationship with God for granted. You might get really prideful about how you're doing. Now, don't do those things on purpose, but know that they will happen. That's part of the process. If anybody you've ever met says, my spiritual growth and development was perfect all the way through, I'm not going to say call them a liar to their face, but there's no way. It doesn't happen. Because we have to learn from our mistakes. When we screw it up, we take those mistakes to God, and he guides us forward with them. And then part of that process to remember is that the end result is in heaven. It's not here on earth. You'll grow, you'll mature in Christ, but you never fully get there until you're there with Jesus in heaven. The process is to grow spiritually. The promise is with God for eternity, not like an A on a test or on a project that you finish, because it's a process, not a project. I've been a Christian my entire life. I grew up, you know, church on Wednesday nights for youth group and twice on Sunday, unless I could fake being asleep and not have to go Sunday night. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but I did it a few times. I know. That my mom listens, so she'll hear me say that. It's okay. I grew up in church. I've been in ministry in some form for 20 years. I graduated seminary. I'm still growing and learning in the process. I still make mistakes, plenty of them. I still have questions that I have to bring to God. I've done the whole two steps forward, one step back type of thing. But the coolest thing about the process that I've learned in it, and I want you all to learn too, is I've always known God loves me in the process. God loves you in the process. He's going to see your steps forward and see your steps backward. He's going to see your frustrations. He's going to see your aha moments where something really clicks. He's going to see your bumps, your bruises, your scars, your disheveled looks, and the gray hairs you start to have come in. And he's going to take that full picture of you in the process, that whole thing, that whole picture, and he's going to put it on his fridge. And he's going to say, that's my kid, and I love him because they're mine. That's what's so cool about it. Because God takes us in the entire process, and as long as we're working on it and we're trying, God's love never fails us. And that day will then come when that promise is fulfilled. We're done going through the process, and the promise is fulfilled when we're with him for eternity. But for now, yeah, we do have to wait, but we wait in faith, and we'll wrap up here. Wait in faith. That comes with waiting in the disappointment. Situations may disappoint us. Bring those to God. We're not disappointed in God, but we bring him in, and we let him reveal himself to us in the disappointment. And we wait with the promise. We have the promise of salvation, of eternal community with God. Let that promise give you hope and something to look towards. And then wait in the presence of God. Just be with him while you wait. Take in more of his presence and more of him and grow your faith while you wait. Again, pick one discipline or practice to either try for the first time or add back in this week. And then wait in the process. Spiritual life is growth. It takes development. It is a process. And it happens all throughout life. Before we get to the promise of eternity with Jesus, live that process. It's ups and downs. And know that God loves you and sees you in it. The promise will come to fulfillment at some point. But the waiting doesn't weaken that promise. It reveals more of God the promiser. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for the promise that you made us, that we do have the promise of eternal life with you. And God, that as we all wait for that to come to fulfillment for the time when we are with you for eternity, I pray that we would just wait with you in your presence. We would grow closer to you and see more of you. We'd bring the disappointments to you. We'd bring the frustrations to you. But we'd be with you in that time. God, we would just see how big your promise is for us. What it means to get to be with you for eternity. And God, I pray that you would walk us all through the process of growing in our relationship with you and in our spiritual lives. God, with the ups and the downs and the backwards and the forwards we all experience with it. God, I pray that we would just all take in that process with you. That we would see you throughout it. God, I thank you that you love us through it all. So God, I thank you that in the waiting we get to be with you. In your name.